Gay Whore. Chapter 15. He arrived at Benton's house, breathless and spent. Oh, God, please let him take me back, he prayed. He banged on the door hopefully, crying out, Benton, let me in, please! There was no answer. He pounded again and again, trying the lock on the door and shouting until he was hoarse. Still no answer. Jack was frightened now, and he didn't know what to do. He couldn't just run all over the island looking for him, and it might be hours before he came back. There was danger lurking all around him. He could feel it, and it might catch up with him any minute. Mother could be anywhere right then trying to track him down, and it was only logical to feel that Mother would be seething with turbulent rage beneath the surface of his icy reserve, and there was just no telling what might happen if they came face to face. Jack didn't think that he could rely at all upon his own sane judgment anymore. It was highly probable that he would simply let his fists fly and beat the hell out of Mother. And then there would be Samson to contend with, even more so than the treat that... Oh my God, there's so many typos. I'm leaving this. The treat. Even more so than the threat that he posed now, for Jack was already convinced that Samson was a menace to him in the not-too-far-distant future. Samson was an occupational hazard that would surely have to be dealt with in good time. That was apparent, just as it was also apparent to him that Benton could actually be inside the cottage and just not answering him. He knocked louder on Benton's door. Still no answer. Then he heard a familiar voice say softly, Jack, take it easy. It was Benton. He came up the porch steps and stopped beside him. Benton asked, What are you doing here? Please, I beg you, talk with me, Jack replied. Really? Aren't you afraid of what Mother will say? Screw Mother! I don't belong to the arena anymore. I'm not insane anymore. Benton opened the front door. Come in, he said to Jack. They went in and sat in the lounge chairs facing each other, and for a while neither said a word. Then Jack drew a long, discouraged breath. I've been sick, haven't I? Yes, pretty sick. It's been all my fault. I'm terribly mature. There's more to it than that. I know, Jack said miserably. It hasn't been just the immaturity. There were other things. The running away from responsibilities and... This was hard for him to say. And the insane need to sadistically destroy anyone who tried to tie me down and stop me from sowing my wild oats. Yes, and you bit off your nose to spite your face. I know, Jack repeated. It's the oddest thing. All I wanted to do was have lots of experiences. And getting them only turned me against everything else, because they were so damn wrong and bad and sick. You made a mess, Benton said. Yes, my own mess. But I know better now. And you can test me if you want to, any way you want to. But I want you back, Benton, and I'll do anything you want. He studied Jack, his eyes wary. I think you'd better talk for a while. I'll need explanations. Yes, all right, Jack said. God knows, you're entitled to my honesty at last. Tell me about Bob, Jack. And he did, concluding, I felt for Bob something more than pain, grief, and guilt. I mean... I was involved with another human being, and I cared about him.
I can understand that, Jack. You were committed to a kind of love.
Yes, that's right. But I was still trapped in the arena by my insatiable appetite for orgiastic sex. And Jack cried, There's more! And told him the story of Scotty. He proved to me that my sex has become a Frankenstein's monster.
You mean it had grown all out of proportion?
That's right, Jack nodded furiously. Sex isn't everything. It's just one part of me, because I'm not just one great, big, inanimate sexual object like they expect you to be at the arena. I can't be a freak!
And what about the experiences you want to get and haven't gotten yet?
Well, just living from day to day is a pretty big experience, isn't it? Instead, I've been trying to find a fool's paradise, and I ended up in a sick hellhole. But I got myself out. And in time, I hope.
There was a long silence while Benton looked at him and shrank deeper into his chair.
Jack.
Yes?
What do you want from me now?
Well, I need your maturity and understanding and faith, I suppose. I need any and all crumbs of your wisdom that you care to drop to me. And if it kills me, I'll make you proud of me someday.
You'll owe me no gratitude, Jack. Except your undivided love.
Jack stared at him. There was a time for honesty. He had to be perfectly honest.
That's gonna come, Benton. I know it's going to, because, you see, I'm already in love with the respect that I feel for you, and since I want to please you more than anything else in this whole wide world, because you're someone marvelous that I want to build my life with, how can love fail to develop?
Jack," Benton said. "It may be that you are clutching at me as your final last straw. And do you believe that?"
"I don't know," he said honestly. "That's what we'll have to find out."
"Then we're going to give ourselves another try together?"
Benton said. "I don't see why not. Yes, we'll try to make it work, you and me together. It's that all that we have left to do."
They rose from their chairs at nearly the same time, and they embraced and kissed.
"Oh, Benton." "Welcome back, Jack. I've missed you so."
Jack shivered and drew away slightly. "My past isn't going to end like this, with a kiss to just shutting it out."
Benton frowned briefly. "What do you mean?"
"I'm afraid that Mother isn't going to let me just walk away from the arena," he said. "He knows who you are, and I suppose he also knows by now that I've come to you. I'm afraid there's going to be some pretty nasty repercussions."
Benton hesitated. "Yes, that might be a problem."
"Could we go to the police?"
"Never. The arena stays in operation because of police protection. High office and expensive protection. So we wouldn't get anywhere with the police, unless..."
Jack finished the thought for him. "Unless we're badly beaten up. Benton!"
"What?"
"I can't let you take that risk with me."
"Don't be gracious and melodramatic," Benton pulled Jack to him and kissed him again. "I'm with you all the way from now on, whatever might come."
"Not this."
"This too," Benton insisted. "And I'm not being particularly admirable or devil-may-care either. It's simply that I love you, Jack, now that you know what you are and what you want, and so naturally there is no way to survive the wreck of the past weeks, but to act and pull responsibly together, for it's not a matter of forgiveness or anything else on either side of any longer. It's merely a matter of seeing if we can salvage something called complete togetherness from the mess we've both made of each other since we left Illinois.
You may be risking a lot. Your life, maybe.
But I'm gaining love and happiness all the while."
Jack embraced him tightly. "Am I really worth it? Really?"
And Benton sighed. "Oh, really. If you're going to continue these self-doubts, I'll have to treat you like a child and spank you." Jack laughed. "Promises, promises." Then they scrambled to the bedroom. The end.